You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I know there was no Twitter. Like, were you in the Boston Globe every day digging in deep on what everybody's saying about Cedric Maxwell with the magnifying glass?
But
these guys are. So
I think about Cedric Maxwell could give a rat's ass.
I know.
Right now about, you know, somebody, you know, talking about him in that
way. Did you care about winning and getting paid?
About winning. I cared about winning. At the end of the day, winning is going to cure all. And right. This team now, I think there's some pieces and they have some great pieces. I think the coach is going to be a really good coach. I'm curious to see how he's going to coach these guys. So I like the prospects of this team.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
When it comes to Marcus Smart, will he be back? Or will he finish
for 80 million?
He finish the season in a Celtic uniform? Josue, what do you think?
I'm not sure, Max, but the fact that there's a report out that he's putting it out there that he's seeking 80 million for 4 years, and he knows the situation that the Celtics are in right now, and he wants that extension right now. That might be the writing on the wall, Max. I don't know. How do you call it? How do you see it? That might be his way of saying, "Hey, I'm out. If you don't want to put me part of your future, then send me out my way right now."
Everybody.
Play for
everybody in this league wants to get paid
except the Lakers,
and he's no different than anybody else, especially a young upcoming player.
He deserves it
right now.
They want to establish themselves. Like Carmelo made reportedly $260 million since he's been the NBA.
I get that, Max, but why gotta be right now?
Marcus Smart is looking for another payday.
I think
but why now? Why does it have to be? Why does the extension have to be now? Like, why put this out there?
He did
now?
This last time, Josue. Remember, he's starting Danny out.
No, I get that, but this time is different because the money situation is different. You know,
he knows
the objective right now. He knows that these guys. So the way I see it is he knows, or he's thinking to himself, if I'm not part of your future here, don't just dangle me out here for a season. Me running the point when. It's not intentional to be your full-time plan or long-term plan.
I think he deserves to say that.
I think he does too. But my point is, if he's saying that and the Celtics are clearly going another direction and trying to save money, then what's the end game here? You either trade him or you're going to watch him walk.
The end game here is this. The Celtics don't have to be in a hurry to trade Marcus Smart.
No.
This Marcus Smart, the pressure is on him. The Marcus Smart is essentially a lame duck right now, going into his last year, just like a president. He's a lame duck going into this thing until he gets some kind of extension. So
more than ever, because
I don't think the Celtics, I don't think Brad, I don't think anybody has to panic because you have to play out this season to get to the next contract.
They need him right now. They don't need his skill. They need his attitude.
They need his skill. He is your best point guard right now.
I know, but that's got to change. That has to change.
Yeah, but I don't hate that, Nick. I don't hate that. I want him to be the point guard of this team. I want him to guide this team, especially the roster the way it is right now. But my thing is, I get where Marcus's head is at. He's like, look, if I'm not part of your long term plans. And I'm just a temporary fix to get you to Bradley Beal or to get you off the books and then trade me now. I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to be here if you don't want to have me around beyond next year.
Let's talk about it for a minute. I mean, you got two pretty piped in people who have two conflicting reports. I mean, they're absolutely polar opposite about the same person. One of them has to probably be true. So if the one that Jared Weiss said is true, which is his teammates resented him because of him and Brad's relationship, then I don't think Marcus.
Wow. Hey, let me back up.
Just wait. He took the bait so well.
Yeah. Please back up with that. Why would his teammates be mad with him about the relationship he has with Brad if, in fact, you're hearing this confrontational?
It was reported, and the reason I think would be that Marcus, there were times where Marcus was calling the plays in the huddle. I mean, like, Brad wasn't even there. I think they resented him because he held them accountable, the players.
That's nothing to resent a guy about because, you know,
Max, you
get accountable.
But Max, did you like, I know there was no Twitter, like, were you in the Boston Globe every day digging in deep on what everybody's saying about Cedric Maxwell with the magnifying glass?
But
these guys are. So
I think about Cedric Maxwell could give a rat's ass.
I know.
Right now about, you know, somebody, you know, talking about him in that
way. Did you care about winning and getting paid?
I cared about winning. At the end of the day, winning is going to cure all. And right. This team now, I think there's some pieces and they have some great pieces. I think the coach is going to be a really good coach. I'm curious to see how he's going to coach these guys. So I like the prospects of this team. And like I said, Max, I like them because this team can grow. I don't see them like LA, like the Lakers, like, okay, we are experimenting and we're putting all this stuff together and we're seeing if we can come up with a good team. I don't like that.
Might as well bring Magic to work back.
Remember right after what was it? After Jeff Teague was traded, and you know there
he won a championship,
the Fournier trade, yeah, and he went on and won a championship. But like there was that report that don't go to the someone told Blake Griffin don't go to the Celtics. They're a mess over there. The locker room's a mess. I'm like,
this is Kemba.
I almost feel like this is the same source that's saying like, oh, Marcus Smart is the root of that.
It is the same source. It is.
Yeah, but if that's the case, well, yeah, because I guess both reports would. Did the first one come from Jared too as well?
Well the first one was Jared. The second was Mannix. The second doesn't make sense.
Well, the second one, see, the Mannix one is interesting because I feel like many people have different opinions about this team. So it doesn't shock me. But
tell the listeners a Mannix report, Joseph.
What matters most is how close to the team was this source, you know? But it doesn't shock me. That's just one man's opinion, or I guess a couple sources.
I mean, I think you guys should, if you want to be into the Bleacher Report.
What Bleacher Report?
What?
What Bleacher Report?
The one that Joe Sway is on.
The Garden Report.
Yeah, Bleacher Garden. You know, all in one vein.
Marcus was watching.
Are you talking about Marcus the marketing? We're getting that.
And here's the thing.
You're trying to quiet me down here, Max? You telling
no,
me? That,
no. Relax. No.
Big Marcus might be watching.
It's really funny because I'm not going to get into that story. But the point, Marcus might be watching. Now, listen, it for me, if I know that the Celtics are in a hold, it's a bridge year and it's a holding pattern, I will enjoy this season forever because I won't have expectations. But like, I still, Josue, you said it yesterday. You got two superstar duo that don't really – they don't seem to – at least in front of cameras, you don't see them interacting very much. And I don't understand why we need, like, so much more. Like, you've got the foundation. People should be dying to play in Boston with these two young studs.
Because the team doesn't have an identity, Nick. That's why. The team doesn't have an identity. So people from the outside are like,
the Lakers,
if I join these guys, am I guaranteed a championship? I'm not quite sure. Yeah, they have two rising stars – that could easily combine for 60 points a night if they wanted to on any given night. But they're a 500 team last year.
Because they lacked heart.
Is that a true reflection of how talented that team is? Absolutely not. That team was way more talented than a 500 team. Were they a championship team? No, not quite.
They were a force.
The way they would approach the games on a night in and night out basis, it just wasn't the sort of mindset that made you think, okay, these two, they're in unison and they're going to be able to guide this team to its maximal potential.
That is why I am so ready to see the season start and see how the new coach, how he
and fans
because and fans. Brad's system, I think, worked for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like there was a disconnect from his players.
They stopped running the plays. Yeah.
But I was wholeheartedly endorsed Brad, and I didn't get it firsthand, but when they told me Brad was going to be the take Danny's spot, it made perfect sense to me because this team's weaknesses or strengths better than the guy who coached them for all these years.
You think that Brad is doing the negotiating, all the negotiating and all the deals? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Probably not. I mean, isn't Zarin still there?
Yeah, and I think that's a leak. I think that some Zarin's of those stories there, so that might be the bleacher.
I don't
report.
See Brad being the end-all to the be-all while he's there.
What about Austin?
Austin is still in that position, and I don't know.
What are you doing? Your back on camera.
With the shoehorn. What are you using?
My back position.
With the shoehorn.
No, yeah, what is that? What did you use?
Spoon.
Spoon, even better.
My back position, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's actually the best thing to use. I used to use fork.
That is going
to
be, yep.
But the fork sometimes hurts a little bit. The spoon.
How about this?
The spoon gets the spot sometimes.
Oh, that is the best right there. That one is great. But have you ever been walking down the street and you see a corner of a wall and you get there?
Yeah,
and you
I do it all the time at home. Even like a
big bear just scratching your back. Going, oh, that's the spot right there.
So what about Kemba in New York? He goes home. You know, this is fashionable now to go home.
Well, I think it is fashionable, but how is it going to work out? Because I think a lot of people right now are going to be looking for cardiac Kemba out of UConn and the explosive Kemba who was with the Hornets. And I think those days might be gone considering they're trying to work with his knee and all those things. And how many games he sat out last year. So I just don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that here's the thing I believe. I believe the Knicks fans are going to give him an opportunity. They're going to give him an opportunity. But if it doesn't work, if it ain't working, this
but I thought it was just Boston media.
Yeah, but I think they know what they signed up for. I think they know what they signed up for, you know? This is a two-year.
Fans don't know Joe Sway. They signed up for.
This isn't max money, Kemba, coming in here. Right?
It's not max money. But did the Celtics and did you and me and everybody right now, did we know what we signed up for when we got Kyrie?
Kyrie. I did.
Oh, that's a whole
nother. No, I didn't. I was happy about Kyrie.
That's another episode. But no, I get what you're saying. But my point is, he's not under those same circumstances where it's like you're one of our top guys. You need to lead it. I don't think they see it that way.
I don't believe that, Joe Sway. I don't believe that. I think
then they see a Kyrie Irving. They see more of a Kevin. It's more of a Derrick
Joe Sway. It's the same thing you're saying when you're talking about bringing back Isaiah Thomas. It's the same thing you're talking about.
No one
the magic that he had. Could he ever rekindle that magic here in Boston? And you're going, no. It can't be done again.
But this is different, Max. He dropped. He had a stretch of games where he was averaging 32 points for about 6 weeks.
Okay, just wait. Are you going to
start him? I'm not saying that's going to carry over, but what I'm saying is you're going to see more of a Derrick Rose than you'll see of an Isaiah Thomas.
Here's the question I'll ask you again. Are you going to start Kemba?
I don't think you start him. He's not a starter anymore. He's no longer a starter.
Well, listen, he was pissed off about the load management.
You can't play back to back. If you can't
load
play back
management,
to back.
He was pissed off about that. I think he's going to want to start. I mean, I don't know. He's obviously left Boston disgruntled.
Well, he's going to average 20.
What if he goes
he's
out to
average 25 minutes a game? He can't average starter minutes.
I agree.
You know,
I mean, I agree. It's going to be an interesting year. And I mean, coming off, we never really talked about the finals. Dude, I want to talk about it in depth, but like, it was just great to see two small market teams playing. Did anybody get the ratings at the end?
Just said the ratings were really good.
Good.
But I remember there's Josue, there's somebody who's on with us right now. Oh,
here we go, Josue.
Oh, you just wait until Milwaukee and Phoenix. Oh, those ratings are going to be shit. That's where they're going to be.
That sounds just like
I wasn't.
It was him.
I wasn't rooting like for
verbatim,
that.
I
wasn't rooting for that, and I also was not accounting for the fact that how many people quietly dislike LeBron or was glad that LeBron wasn't the guy again in the finals, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I think Giannis being a likable character. Giannis being a likable character. I mean, you had Kareem in the building every game and not the big O. I mean, it just felt like the NBA again to me. You had Phoenix there, always like the underdog team, scrappy. I don't know. It felt great to me, and I only watched highlights. You know, I mean, like Bobby Blanks would give me the lowdown during the game. The next day, I put on the highlights.
I loved it because it was obviously competitive basketball. It was underdogs coming up big and on the big stage. Unfortunately, the team I wanted to win didn't. I was rooting for the Suns. You know, I thought it would be a special moment for.
I am so happy that they kind of didn't win. And I'm not sure why. You know who I really wanted to win?
Chris Paul?
No. Monty Williams.
Oh yeah,
Monty Williams is the one guy that I cheer for to win a championship, and that was something for me from a heart standpoint that tugs at my heart. This man lost his wife, and it was like on his mind. Mm-hmm. And when he got there at the end, and he was doing that press conference, and he was about to break down, he said, "I wanted it. I wanted it so bad." That to me, like that crushed me. So he was the one guy I actually was cheering for.
You know, that's great.
Yeah, it gave me goosebumps.
It gave me. I have goosebumps. I got them just now. But like, I was.
And then you saw what he did. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
I was gonna say you saw what he did after the game. He went over to the locker room.
That's traditional. That
always class act, man. Class act.
Man, Pat Riley did that, and he hated these guys. They always do that.
No, who? What?
I have a video of Pat Riley congratulating you guys. Don't tell me it didn't happen. You actually were hugged by him.
What?
Yeah. I'll send
what are you talking about?
Actually, I'll run it over this clip
Nick,
right here.
What are you talking about?
Max, I have it in my phone.
Nick, you always saying you got shit and it's not there, okay? Pat Riley did not come to our locker room. Like Monty did and spoke and congratulated us. No, he did not. I barely remember a Laker coming and congratulating us. Now, whereas when they won it in Boston, I actually went in their locker room and congratulated them. Yeah.
I think I have that tape too.
I think but Pat Riley did not come to our locker room.
Where we find
it, Nick? You find it because you always
the
king of maybe that wasn't okay. Well, yeah, I guess that wasn't right. Yeah, I made a mistake.
I'm already looking. Go ahead. Can you take over for a minute, Josue?
Yeah, please go. I am. Go find this thing where you see Pat Riley coming in our locker room. Congratulations.
Nick's go-to line is always, don't worry, I'll find it. He never finds it.
No, I just don't. I find it. I forget to circle back. That's usually what it is.
He will never find this because it never happened.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline.ag isn't just about sports. If you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline has other options such as award shows, TV shows, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Now, don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert.
I can tell you.
So I dreamt it. I dreamt this.
Nick has told me things about Nick. This is how Nick good Nick is.
Probably the Bulls, man.
Nick will tell me things about myself.
That's true.
Tell me something I did, and I'm just like, Nick, that did not happen.
Well, that's the way.
No, I got it. I got it on tape. I got it.
This is true.
Yeah, look on tape and going, oh, well, I guess it didn't happen.
Maybe it was ML Carr.
Maybe a possibility.
I'll find it. Listeners, by the time this is edited, it will be overdubbed. Pat Riley comes into the locker room, shakes hands with Casey Jones, and so does Magic Johnson.
Okay, man, whose locker room?
I don't know if it was a locker room, it was where the trophy presentation
was. Let me just say this. In 1984,
mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson did not come in our locker room. Pat Riley did not come in our locker room.
Well, maybe not the locker room match, but where the trophy presentation was. Because
Nick, there was Nick. The trophy presentation was in our locker room.
That's how they did it back then.
It was in the locker room.
Nick, read my – Nick, again, the water bottle.
I need to know when I'm right what's going to happen.
The water bottle. You know, just say that over and over again. Kyrie and the water bottle. Keep saying
Can
that.
Can we do the water bottle?
Yo, Max, see they're gonna do a 30 for 30 on the Malice in the Palace. That's gonna be a good one.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Ooh, that up now. Yeah. That I would watch.
Ruined our league though, because that's what stopped with the physicality.
I'm sure they're gonna get into all that. They're gonna get into.
There's a lot of clips that have leaked out on YouTube already from Meta World Peace and a bunch of. Okay. Well, I don't know. I might have to show Max. I might have to show him.
Well, Nick, stick to one thing right now. Find me the piece where Pat Riley came in the locker room in 1984.
I am going to. You need to continue the show.
Yeah, we'll continue the show.
Shine a light on him.
Nick, we'll be here until 2030 right now. Were you trying to find that spot?
Max would make you make for a great detective, yo. Your interrogation game will be on point. Your interrogation
plus
game.
Plus, he lived it, so it's hard to argue with them. Just
you'd make people crack. You'd be like, "Where's the other?
He was there.
Where's it at?
He was there. Like I wasn't.
He was slamming his hand on the table. He was, yo. He would do the whole thing.
You can't handle the truth,
Nick. Watch this, Nick. This is what I'll do. If it doesn't fit. You must quit. Johnny Cochran, School of Rhyme.
Once a week, he would say that he would drop that shit.
And the craziest thing about that was that summer, I happened to go to an event. And of all the people, I'm in the men's locker room, about to go in there, and everybody's getting, there was a massage area. Everybody was lounging. And of all people in there, Johnny Cochran. I was like, damn.
Said, did he recognize you?
This is living history right here.
Did he throw you a cornbread or no?
No. He just, you know.
Was that month after the verdict?
They speak. Everybody speaks. But it was just most of those guys happened to be Laker fans. I mean, one guy who really showed me love, and that was Bernie Mac.
Broadcaster?
Oh, the comedian. The comedian Bernie Mac.
That's why I don't know.
He gave me the most love, and I think I've told this story before, where it was Muggsy Bowes.
No, you never told this.
Muggsy Bowes had a celebrity tennis and golf tournament down in Puerto Rico, and I was there. Dale Curry was there, and it was a bunch of other people. So Bernie Mac performed, and after the show, all the players went back to see him. So it was Muggsy's event. So Muggsy goes up and says, hey, I'm Muggsy. You know, thank you for being here. You know, we really appreciate that. And, you know, Bernie Mac, gracious. Yeah, thank you guys, you know, for having me. Then Dale Curry's next. Dale Curry walks up and, Mr. Mac, you know, thank you, you know, for coming. You know, you're one of my favorite comedians. I'm number three. I walk up. Bernie Mac, I extend my hand. I'm about to tell him who I am. He's like, you know what? You're fucking cornbread. I don't know who the fuck these other guys are. And it was the funniest thing because it's like it was so brutally honest the way he said it. I just about fell on the ground. I died when he said that.
Bro, you were in the biggest rivalry of all time, man. So you know he was watching.
He was love on top of love.
Oh, and you were one of the antagonists.
I think we should nick.
Right, you're a standout. I think we should just
take Nick out of this broadcast because his head is going to be down trying to find this damn tape that he's never going to find.
It's in my phone, but I have so much.
Bro. You got him sweating, bro. The interrogation gone.
Is that the same tape that you have that, you know, that they have down in Pennsylvania who killed Jimmy Hoffa? Is that it?
I don't have that tape. That was that'll get cut out. I like when he does that to you, Joe Sway. Ask you a question.
He does that a lot. Yeah, your interrogation game would be, you would drop that all the time.
Oh, look, if I was on like 48 hours, the first 48, I'd only need like damn 26. That's all I would be. I'd break that case in a heartbeat. I'm like, because I would look at some of these dudes like, dude, are you serious? Are you going to actually tell me that? Look, I got your phone number. I got your picture. I got everything about you is right here. And you're telling me what? That you weren't there? Dude, I'd be like this. Who is this? Who the hell is this right here? This is you in the picture, right?
And finally, I believe I found it, but I'm going to have to mute myself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you found it.
You guys continue. Yo,
Max, you would be so matter-of-factly that people would just crack, bro. They would just go, all right, bro, you got me. Damn it. All right, man. Shit. All right. That's Michelle. No, man, all right,
I'll wear her. We good, man. Give me the cuffs, man. Just cuff me now. I'm good right now. I know.
All right. Damn it.
But, I mean, that's essentially how those things go when you think about how teams play and how individuals go back and forth. But I think that's what's going to be so interesting about this upcoming year. Is that, you know, that the defending champions right now, God knows, and you and I are just dreading this, but our defending NBA champions right now are the Milwaukee Bucks. That's a place that you and I have pooped on for many, many years.
And now they're on top of the mountain. Man, they're chilling. They're on the mountaintop. I'm happy for Giannis, man. Yeah. He did it the way that the last 10 years or so we haven't seen players do it, right? And I know you're not big on the super, you know, you don't care if guys win on super teams, all right? But you got to give him credit on this one. You know, before 1 year ago, he said some people go and they see a brick wall and they go and jump on a super team. I see a brick wall and I run through it. And less than a year later, he won the title. It paid off.
Hey, how about this? Just way you gave him $250 million. I tell you what, I'll run through that same wall you're talking about. I mean, everybody's like, oh, poor Giannis, he stayed. And oh my God, he was just, are you serious? I mean, again, just take that in account for 1 second. He was given about $250 million, a quarter of $1 million. And here's a guy who could not. Who couldn't? His mom barely could find food for his family when they were over in Greece. So you're looking at the guy who took a lot of money, and yeah, he took a lot of grief. And I'll give you this. What I'm more proud about is the way he bounced back, because very, very seldom, and this is a lesson for Ben Simmons. Very seldom you see a guy take that much scrutiny the way Giannis has, with his free throw shooting and maybe lack of this and lack of that, and still was able to progress and be the player he was. That, to me, is amazing.
I mean, to be down 2-0 in the first time in the NBA Finals, I don't care who you are. You gotta have a certain amount of mental toughness to power through that. Okay, yeah, you won 2 at your place, but I'll never forget game 5. Like, for him to take that game, like, you put your team in a space where they were not only going into that closeout game confident, but you had that crowd with you. You had the crowd behind outside of the crowd with you, and you had the majority of a Suns team that had never been in that kind of scenario.
But that was game. That was game five or game six? Which one?
Well, I'm talking about. I was so impressed with the fact that they were able to win that game five because you set the stage for game six.
Okay. The game that they had, the game that they won actually.
Exactly. You set the stage for a no way we can lose matchup.
Yeah.
Because game five, that's it. No matter what you say about what the Suns did, they took everything from. They took the soul out of the series from that.
I agree. I totally agree.
Talk about Drew Holiday coming out with the steal. You know, Booker with a chance to close it out in front of his crowd, for him to come from behind and steal that from him, man. That guy played one hell of a series.
And for those then, guys, and put it together. For him to throw that pass to Giannis, and Giannis to be given a sign and blindly throwing it up. And I think that nobody really saw it, but you could see Holiday jumping another time after he passed it. He passed it, and he was jumping for Giannis, trying to get him up to the top. But Giannis was on top of the rim. And Chris Paul, poor Chris Paul, all he was getting was, you know, he was getting them jewels right in his face. That was all that was happening at that time. He was teabagged at that time. I'm sorry to say. He wasn't?
Yeah, a little bit. You got the
A little bit. Dude, what are you talking about? Did you see the? I know you don't want to admit this, but did you see? Just wait. They were right here. They were right here.
Yeah, he got the cubes right in there. Yeah, he got it right in his face, bro.
Pretend these are right here, just like right here in your face. Hello? Hello, somebody.
But somebody else got it.
I just laugh about that. I think that was an amazing play for him to go out and to do that, for Giannis to come back, to take the criticism. I mean, even with that, think about the free throws, the pressure on the free throws.
What did he do?
Fans had this super fast clock. They had a super fast clock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No. I'm talking about the fact that he turned it around so that he went, what was it, 15 for 17 or whatever the heck it was? How does that happen, Max? How do you go from being a 50% or 55% shooter from the free throw line and all of a sudden you're shooting damn near 90% in the same series, the same playoffs?
It's all about what's in here. And it's all about what's in the middle of your waist. At that point, you got the big ones. That's what you got. And if you think about players over your lifetime who have crumbled, I've seen guys who have been superstars who have crumbled in that situation. So for Giannis to step up like that, that was huge.
All right, Max. Well, let me set you up here. You were in a zone, right?
Yeah,
the team on my back, get you to the promised land, you know, all that good stuff. What's that like? What was that zone like? Is it a space where you just everything's clicking? Does it take a little bit of luck, or is it just so focused that nothing else matters and you're almost somewhere else?
It's a feeling that very few people have in life, and if you could buy it and say I want to go there, if you were selling that. You don't know how you wouldn't even have a price tag you can put on it because it is you are connected not only spiritually, mentally, physically, everything is just
click.
You know where the ball is going before it goes. You know what's going to happen. It was just scary to be there and to be there. Minute, you know, several times in my career, is one of those things I look back on, and it's almost like an out of body experience. When you think about, you know, you say the world championship is going to be won, and NBA history is going to be on your shoulders tonight. Mm-hmm. You're going to be part of NBA history tonight, and the same thing you look at, Giannis is going to be part of NBA history. Drew Holiday is going to be part of NBA history with that particular play. And even if you, I know you don't want to admit it, this is going to be part of it too. When you see them things right here, in Chris Paul's face, you're gonna go,
That was part of it too.
I'm sorry.
Like my coach used to say in high school, man, to get us pumped up in the crowd, you know, right before we're about to go back into the game, you know, guys, hey, sack out, all right? Seriously, leave it on the floor. Like, all right, we got you, coach.
Damn,
not literally, man. Obviously, but
sack out. We I got love you, coach. It. Good. This is what I love because you had to say it.
Hey, sack out.
Oh, wait a minute. Who's back here? Who's back?
You know what's really surreal?
What?
Watching the trophy presentation while you guys are talking about the exact same game.
Oh, yeah. No, did you? Let me ask
and
you something.
And Pat Riley entered the room and congratulated Casey Jones.
I didn't see Pat Riley. You just said Magic was there too, right? Did you say that?
I thought it was Magic. But
whoa, wait a minute. Didn't you say
you were still on the court?
I know you said that.
I can't lie. I'm a bad liar.
I know you said that. I know you said that, and I don't ever remember seeing Pat Riley in there either.
Nick, you see him come over.
That would have made the documentary.
You said you see him what?
You see him come. You guys are all. Red is in the front with the trophy in the back of KC. You're over here screaming, "Hey, mom! Hey, mom!"
Yeah. Okay.
And then he got excited, and then Pat Riley comes in, pissed off, leans over and shakes hands with KC, and is out. I'll send it to you.
In the same way that Magic came in too, right?
See what he's doing, Josue. So maybe I was wrong on the Magic part.
Same way Magic came through there.
I thought Magic did. Did you go in there in '85?
I did.
Did anyone else?
I don't remember anybody else going in. I do remember going in, congratulating them.
You did?
No.
And did they? That was like hard.
Yeah, Winston. Winston, we realized that Dad is lying right now, but that's a whole other story.
Hang on, let me get rid of him. Hang on.
I was gonna say, take him out.
Yep. So, Josue, I think that we should. In this, I think that we're going to get a chance to see this Laker experience. And, you know, I think that you're on record right now saying that it's going to be successful. I'm on the record right now saying this is going to be a train wreck.
I'm with Max.
I like it.
What's the wager? If it wasn't the Lakers, I'd root for them.
Okay, Nick. So I want to make sure we frame him right now. Let's go to Josue so we can actually –
Do you want me to take everybody else off the screen?
Let's just frame Josue. Okay, let's go with this.
We can do that.
Yeah, frame him. All right, Josue, come on.
I got to say it again?
You got to say it again because we want to make sure it's crystal. You know, people were talking all over you before. I want to hear what you're going to say.
Let it be known that the Los Angeles Lakers, this whole new big three in L.A. with Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, it is going to be a success, all right? I'm not calling them the champs yet, all right? They're not the 2022 champs yet, but it's going to be a successful run, and I predict them to head to the finals, all right?
Yeah.
There's no way that this team is going to fail so badly that they don't get as far as the NBA finals. Right? Okay. I'll say that much.
You know, that's all we need. And with that, sports fans, we can close on another segment of the Cedric Maxwell podcast because Josue has put it out there and you know, we have it documented on tape.
And Pat Riley was in the locker room. Good night, all. Max, I can't fucking find it anywhere. Of course, I will find it.
Because it never happened.
Nick, you found him in the locker room?
No, I can't find it, but I couldn't. When you guys were talking, I was trying to fast forward. I will find it now. I will sit here until I get it.
Okay, well, when you get it back.
What else have I told you false? Now, usually I say, make sure you verify this report before you go with
it. Just send it on it. Send it to me when you get it, okay?
And what do I win?
Huh?
What do I win?
Just the privilege of being right.
I'll take it.